Good morning. It is Thursday, March 21st. I'm Juliet Bennett Riley here with Ben Berkley, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today, we're talking about fantasy books coming to life. While it's nothing new to give people a space to get in costume and immerse themselves in imaginative worlds like Ren Fairs, murder mystery dinners, live-action role-playing games, immersive theater performances like Sleep No More, you name it, the role of TikTok, and specifically its young women-dominated BookTok audience, that's making these immersive events into a booming business. But before that, let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. It definitely feels like we're paying more for streaming services than ever before, but Deloitte's annual report went ahead and confirmed it. American households that pay for streaming entertainment now spend, on average, $61 per month across four services. Last year, that number was $48 per month.
Sorry, but if you had to choose your four, what are you taking?
Shudder, Screambox, Netflix, and switching between HBO and Amazon depending on whether they've got a Westworld or a Game of Thrones or it's The Boys' time.
That feels like a good one. I also feel like this is a sign for the rest of Hollywood. Make more horror-related services because you've got a customer waiting for
you. Just for me. And you know what? This is actually kind of interesting maybe to five people out there. I was actually not interested in Screambox until I found out that they have a new series coming up where they actually take stories from Reddit's No Sleep subcommunity, which is where people just write their own horror stories, and they're turning those into like an anthology series where each episode is a different story. So I thought that was really interesting, and that's why I'm all on Screambox now.
I so look forward to us covering the people on Reddit suing them for doing this and not cutting them in quite at the level they want. That seems like it's going to be messy, and I look forward to hearing more about it.
Moving on, Bentley Motors is the latest car maker to pause its electric vehicle plans. The luxury auto brand said its first EV model will not arrive until 2026, and that its plans to be entirely electric by 2030, a $3.4 billion investment, will also be pushed back. Chick-fil-A is America's third largest restaurant chain by sales, thanks to its popular chicken sandwiches. But it may have a new trick up its sleeve. The chain's Innovation Kitchen, where it tests possible new products, is now serving pizza.
I gotta say, they actually sound pretty good.
Really? I've never been to a Chick-fil-A in my life.
Oh, okay. Well, on the next episode of the Hustle Daily Show, we will go live to Chick-fil-A and get kicked out immediately for recording things in there.
You know, they didn't have them where I grew up. And now I just feel like I'm too old. Too old for my first Chick-fil-A.
Once they become a pizza place.
Okay, yeah, maybe then.
You can just order it and they'll bring it to your house. It'll be fine.
Now we're going to talk a little bit more about luxury. We already talked about Bentley Motors, but Gucci, not doing great either. Luxury stocks took a tumble yesterday on news that Gucci sales are down 20% year over year. The market was least kind to Gucci parent Kering, naturally. It saw a 15% drop Wednesday. Here's another luxury story, and this one is actually blowing my mind for some reason. So Hermes is being sued for allegedly requiring shoppers to buy other products before they can get a Birkin bag, which apparently is a $10,000 status symbol that some people really want. What I did not know is that apparently, according to Business Insiders, this is a common practice among luxury retailers, where if you want the big status symbol thing that everybody wants, you've got to make other purchases first and sort of build a rapport. Now, I obviously am not in the tax bracket that would see me buying a Birkin bag anytime soon, but this is fascinating to me.
Yeah. As someone who's probably well on the way to getting the top of the line Old Navy shirt, whatever you can only buy once you've bought enough basics there, I'm very excited about this model. I also didn't realize this was a thing. It seems like that might not hold up well in court, but I guess this has been a practice for quite a while. I do want to know a lot more about this story.
Yeah.
So we might have to come back to this on a different day.
Same. I cannot wait to see how this unfolds, actually. And here's a hustle for you. If you want to afford that really luxury bag in the future, apparently get into the popcorn bucket hustle. The phrase popcorn bucket, in quotations, was searched 4.9 thousand times per day on eBay in February, thanks to AMC's Dune popcorn bucket, which looks like a giant sandworm and maybe some other stuff, according to people on X. Originally, you could get this thing at AMC for about $25, but now hustlers are asking for hundreds of dollars to have your very own Dune popcorn bucket, which is amazing. All right, speaking of science fiction and fantasy and giant sandworms, we're going to talk about fantasy. We're going to talk about like Dungeons and Dragons and sci-fi and this romance novel that literally everyone is seemingly reading, according to just me being on the bus and the train. Apparently, there is a whole new onslaught of fantasy events, real life immersive experiences. You know, those aren't new, but these ones are based on books and not just Lord of the Rings. We're talking fantasy and romance novels, romantasy, if you will. Per CNN, the last 2 years have seen several companies deliver Knights in Another Realm to millennial and Gen Z audiences who love fantasy and romance novels, and they've been using TikTok's BookTok to sell tickets. And these tickets, you know, are anywhere from like $60 up into the thousands of dollars for these bespoke experiences that probably take place in a real castle, I imagine.
Good for them, first off.
Yeah.
This is like one of those nice trends that you like to hear about. It seems like it's all harmless fun for people and also good business for those who are putting these on. The thing that's really interesting to me is just, we keep coming across this over and over again, just the scale of BookTok.
Right.
Look at something, you said romanticy as this, you know, coined genre. It has just barely shy of a billion views on that hashtag on TikTok. And it just feels like the entire book world for sure has just been transformed by this, but it's cool to see it cascading out into other creative enterprises. Mm-hmm. They have customers now. I can't think of anyone I've known who'd ever LARPed before. They're spending a lot of money. Nobody's really making a lot of money in that situation. Mm-hmm. So this is a really cool new industry.
Yes, I once attended a LARP. I was writing a story about LARPing, and my photographer and I were truly enchanted with how into it everybody was. But yeah, it was in a church. It was like somebody's church, and they were like, yeah, you can use our rec room for your little LARPing thing. And people were wearing, you know, just whatever costumes they could put together, similar to Halloween, and they had foam weapons, and they were kind of running around. I don't know. It seemed fun, but it was not like, here, we have created this world for you to explore. It was very much like a bunch of kids doing it on their own.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense that this is also happening now, as it does feel like immersive was one of the big words, definitely pre-pandemic. And now it feels like it's coming back, where so many companies just really want to get that market.
Right.
They know that people are desperate to be out and doing something novel. They're filling in this void. And this is a really good one. I think what's really interesting about this one also is that it seems very focused on young women.
Yes.
Which is not necessarily who has been the core audience for the fantasy genre historically.
Yeah, and that's what I think is the most interesting to me. I mean, I'll be honest with everyone here. I'm a big dork. I have spent my whole life, you know, watching Star Trek and reading fantasy novels. And I think this stuff has kind of always been in pop culture. Women my age, if I talk to women my age about who was your fictional crush when you were a kid, it's always like Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, it's not new, but I think it has become more mainstream. I think it used to be like, if you played Dungeons and Dragons or you read these kind of books, you were kind of a nerd and that's who you hung out with in high school. And, you know, you got made fun of by jocks, stereotypically. But now we're seeing all of this stuff at the forefront of culture. You know, the biggest blockbusters right now are superhero movies and Star Wars. That Dungeons and Dragons movie did really well. Hasbro made a ton of money off of Baldur's Gate 3. You've got women playing video games. You've got women reading fantasy novels and talking about it together on TikTok. That's something that I felt like people didn't really talk about before. And that one book, A Court of Thorn and Roses, I have not read it, but I am very familiar with what the cover looks like because I see it everywhere. There's no shame anymore, I think, about like reading your sexy fantasy novel where the main character falls in love with a werewolf. That's just like what we're doing now. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. Like, this stuff used to be for the guys, and Renfair used to be for the guys. And like, you play a video game, and if there were women in it, they were like tavern wenches, or they had armor that barely covered their bodies, even though they were fighting a dragon. That made no sense. And now that's just not what we're seeing. And I think now that it's become more accessible to young women, and it's more mainstream in the culture, I think this is the natural progression of like, these people want this. Let's create a market where they can dress up and go have fun and kind of live out their fantasies in this world that we've built.
I think that's all well said. And I just want to summarize here two takeaways. One being Juliet is a huge dork.
Yeah.
Which huge. If you had listened to this at any point in time and heard Juliet, you would probably know this already, but that's okay.
Yes. You know I'm 200 hours into Baldur's Gate 3. You know that already.
Very impressed with that. The second takeaway here is if you want to make money, let's maybe cater to literally half the population.
Yes.
Who knew that would actually be a really successful business strategy going to a very, very large market that is continually there for the taking because it's been so often ignored throughout history.
Yes, absolutely. Millennial women have money now. Maybe not everyone's going to the thousands of dollars experiences, which I could not find a good example, although I did find a place where you can go live in a castle and learn how to become a witcher, which sounded really fun.
Great.
If you want to learn your fighting skills, that sounds great. But yeah, they have money now and they want to do cool stuff. And this is the cool stuff. And also, you know, I think immersive experiences were super popular. And then the pandemic, it was like, now you're just immersed in your own house. And it's pretty cool. But one thing that I did find really interesting in the CNN article was that there is some concern that because anytime an immersive thing, whatever it is, gets popular and people see it as a cash grab, you get the Willy Wonka Glasgow experience. So there is some concern that, you know, eventually you'll get one of these book talk romanticy balls and it'll just be absolute crap. But that's just what happens when stuff gets popular, I guess.
Well, we will definitely cover that when it comes, but we'll also be very full of Chick-fil-A pizza and let's just assume Birkin bags. We have those too.
That's like a video game side quest. You have to get all the other luxury goods so that you can finally get the Birkin bag, which is like the main quest.
Okay, yeah, let's start coding that one right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email. And we'll see you tomorrow.